Need the Lord to help us tonight. I'd like to speak on the thought of contending with horses. The scripture is in Jeremiah 12. Says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You know, life has a variety of challenges in it as we endeavor to go through life and live for the Lord. There are going to be all kind of trials, difficulties, challenges to our lives. We are desperate for the Lord to help us to be able to contend with the things that's bigger than we are. I know that I don't go very far in my experience before I realize that I can't do this by myself, and that I'm going to need something that's to sustain me in the times that the things that's bigger come, when I can't do it for myself, and I need to have something more than I can have. Some of the idea of this is that you're contending with the footman. Well, I can be a footman. That's within my capability to be a footman. But if I am can do what we should be able to do, and that wearies me till I can't do it, then what am I going to do against something that I'm not supposed to be able to go against? There's all kind of trials. So before to really understand, I think we need to understand about contending with horses. I think we need to know about running with the footmen, because there's a lot of things in life that comes along that's not all that big that can be a trial to us. But we really probably shouldn't make that big a deal about it. But us humans sure can. We can make a mountain out of a molehill. We can make something big out of something that ain't so big. And so we're in this situation to where we know. I hope we know tonight that this is not going to be smooth sailing. You're going to face things in this life, and most likely before you get out of here, you're going to face some awfully big and hard things. No sugarcoating it tonight. We're going to have to face many times severe pains. We're going to have to go through the very idea of dying. We're going to have to go through dying. Most of us won't go instantly. We're going to have to face some things. We're going to have to face the discouragement that comes along with all of those kind of things. You'll bury me or I'll bury you. And we're going to have to face all of those things that come into life. And this scripture is really helping us to understand something. I hope we get that there's times that we aren't facing the horses. We're facing the footmen. And you got to start with the footmen. You've got to be able to run with the footmen and not be wearied. I'm thinking about it this way. In the educational system, it's progressive. You learn, then you go to another grade. We wouldn't expect any first grader to take a college entrance exam. But you would expect somebody graduating from high school to do it because they've progressed to that point. That's what education does. And I've had some education beyond that. I remember asking my boss, I was in surveying at the time, and I was learning some things, and they had come out by the time that I was doing it, they come out with some wonderful instruments. All I had to do was put the information into the computer, hand computer, and out in the field I could do that, and I could calculate curves, get arcs, all that. I didn't know how to calculate them. But you had to know how to calculate them to be able to get licensed surveyor. There was a lot of it that you had to do, and I asked them at that point, I said, Why do you have to be able to do that? I can do it, but I've got to be able to show that I can do it. And he said, oh, there's a lot of things you'll have to learn that you'll never use. That's not the point. The point is that you learn how to learn. You learn how to be able to function. You learn how to do it. Do you know the little things in our life when we face the little challenges of life are meant for us to be able to learn how to live life? How to function in life. You and I might have a small thing that happens between us, but we need to learn how to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it that way. Or I'm willing to humble myself and let you get that. I may want the chapel painted in purple and with yellow polka dots. And you might say that would be a little outlandish for a chapel. Let's just do it white like everybody else does. Well, no use in me getting offended about that. That's just going with the footman. That's just running with the footman. We get so excited when what we're supposed to do at those times is learn how to serve God. How do we do it? Well, I may be the sort. Trust you, I'm not. I wouldn't want purple polka dots, and I wouldn't be offended if somebody else didn't. But if I was the kind to get my feelings hurt over being denied the purple and polka dots, I need to be able at that point to be able to find the grace of God. It ain't a very big thing, folks. It really isn't a very big thing to be able to exercise myself in the Lord and learn how to take my troubles to Him. He's a God that cares about every feeling I have. He cares when I'm when my feathers are ruffled. He cares when I have a problem about it. Maybe I shouldn't be that way. But when I see that I am, it's a perfect learning opportunity for me to be able to deal with who I am. And so I can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I need your grace to help me with this problem and learn how to get a hold of the Lord. Do you know you need to know how to get a hold of the Lord? I know you can call for Sister Maxine and Brother Lauren and say, I know they pray. I know they get their prayers answered, so I'm going to call them. You know, that's not good enough in this. It's good enough for them, but it's not good enough for you. You need to know how to get a hold of the Lord in the situations of your life. They'll intensify. They won't always be about nothing, but there's times that we need to exercise ourselves in serving the Lord and how to serve the Lord and how for the Lord to help us. We need to run with the footman. We need to run with all the saints that run before like they've run and learn how to get grace that they've got and keep our lives up in the Lord and learn how to have a daily victory in our life. Learn how to let these things have a daily victory in our lives. This analogy is all about war, I'm assuming. And you're contending with another man like you are. You're contending with the footman and the things that you should be able to fight and do. In relationship, there's all kind of problems. Isn't there? The closer you get in the relationships, the more you find that there's these little irritables, little agitations and little things that happen in there. Folks, these are moments. These are moments to be able to learn how to get along with one another, to get out, learn how to have forgiveness, to learn how to humble yourself. Learn how when I can't get over something, learn how to give that to God and let Him do it. See, the thing about it is, God isn't limited with any kind of situation. It's us that's limited. So we go through our lives and we have things that happen. And, you know, the old saying is that, you know, you squeeze the toothpaste from the middle instead of from the end, and that can be an irritation. Or the guy that won't put his socks together, he just takes them off, rolled up, and throws them over in the floor, won't pick his socks up. I ain't accusing anybody of any such thing, but life is like life is, and two different people, or three different people, or 100 different people in congregations have these little things about them that other people look and say, what is that about? Who really cares? Well, one person says everybody ought to put their songbook back in its place. Well, there's a lot of us slobbier people that just don't put things in order so much, and it might irritate you for one thing, and I might just be as happy as I can be, but I irritate you to no great situation. But really, the songbook ain't that big a deal. So the first place we need to do is start learning how to run with footmen and learn how. I've told this story another time. Brother Tony would remember it. I told the story at home too. I'm not at all proud of the story, but it happened to me, and it was one of the greatest learning moments of my experience. Because I was young in the Lord, and I wanted to serve. It was the first year I was saved, and I wanted to serve the Lord really badly. I mean, I wanted to be right. I wanted to serve the Lord. And if it's one thing I knew, and it wasn't a lot I knew, but the one thing I knew was is that Christians act right, don't they? I mean, we all know Christians act right. If you're going to be a Christian, you act right. You wouldn't expect somebody to not act right that's a Christian. I knew you were supposed to act right. Well, me and my first wife, and we were newly married, and you know how things are like that. And there was these little agitations that happened in our life. And I acted right. That's what I did. I acted right. And they'd get me almost to boiling sometimes. But you don't act ugly, and you don't say anything, and you act right. And I acted right and took a big gulp just every time it happened. And I'm sure I was as aggravating as, I mean, I ain't saying she was more than me. I'm just saying that that's the way I dealt with it, because I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do. So I swallowed down things over and over and over. I felt like I just swallowed it down, and I acted right, and I was glad that I acted right. But one day, we was driving off of Miller Mountain, coming down about 55 miles an hour, and got into one of these, you know, in the world you'd say fight, but for Christian places we usually say disagreement. So we got into a disagreement coming down the road, and everything that I gulped down in a moment come all erupting out of me, and 55 miles an hour, I slid that car sideways. I locked up the brakes. I mean, I lost control. You say, Brother Marty, you wasn't saved. Well, you say what you wanted to, but I was trying to live for God, and I didn't know how. I did not know how. And I, all of a sudden, was trying to do right and didn't learn how to run with the footman. Brother Tony would probably remember it, but we had a meeting, and I found myself at the altar saying, I really messed up. Well, for one thing, it was really hard to get the wife in the car after that moment. It was a promise about I had how I was going to drive after that moment. But I went and I said, Brother Tony, I messed up. I messed up. I told him exactly what I did. I said, y'all just acting right and wanted to do this. And he shook his head and said, Brother Marty, that's not the way you do it. And I was like, well, obvious. That's obvious that it's not. What do you do then? You learn how to get a hold of God. You learn how to take care of the need of your soul. That's how you do it. You take it to the, you give it to the one that cares, and you should truly do it. He'll take it for you. He'll give you grace for those things. And we learn as we go, we learn how to serve the Lord. And we learn how to serve the Lord. And we learn how He's faithful. He's a faithful God, folks. He will interject Himself into our lives when we ask Him. He will give us grace and strength that we don't have. And we learn then how to do it. How are you going to have faith? Just going from one place to some great, we want some great war to have, or something, show my faith. No, you're faithful in the little things. Then He'll bring bigger ones. You be faithful in the little things. And He'll make you ruler over much, but you ain't going to be, if you're not faithful over the little things, you will not be faithful over the big ones either. It takes being faithful over the little things. So, at my house, the lights are on all the time. The lights are on all the time. And I'm going around the house saying, turn your lights off. I go around turning them off. I turn lights off all day long, turning the lights off here and there. My wife makes a joke about the closet monster, about because the lights always flip back on in there. It's no monster turning it on. It's all of that. And you know what? I still go around turning the lights off, but it ain't what it used to be. I can't let that be. I can't let that be something that worries me. You know what I'm saying? It's all just an earthly thing, folks. And we still joke about it, and I'll still go turn the lights off, and they'll still forget to turn them off. But this is the way it goes. I can't let that be. I can't let that ruin me and my children and my wife's life. So what do you do? I like to have a timer on them because they go that way. You know, if they go off by themselves in a little while, or a motion censored one. After there ain't no motion around a while, it just goes off by itself. There'd be a lot of ways for me to do that. Or I can ask the Lord for grace and help. And of course, you all might be saying, well, maybe they ought to turn it off, or whatever that it is. I'm going to tell you, that ain't nothing but a footman. That ain't a horse. That's just a thing that happens, an irritation in life, and we learn how to deal with those kind of situations and those kind of things. We learn how to, because there's going to be something else down the road somewhere, and if you can't be faithful and you can't forgive somebody for not turning the light off, or if you can't forgive somebody for a word said out of season or without salt or some word that says that may have hurt you, and that if you can't forgive that, how are you going to forgive somebody punching you in the nose? Or how are you going to forgive somebody that takes something of yours that's precious? How are you going to forgive somebody that's really done something hideous and bad to you? How are you going to forgive that if you haven't learned how to? So we learn as we go through. Nothing's too small, folks, for us to pay attention to our soul. Nothing's too small for us to start learning something. You can't go on to algebra till you learn your multiplication tables. When you learn, you can go on and on to things and have expectation that you can accomplish something. But you're not going to be able to face the big thing till you face the little ones. So it says here, if you've run, the setting of that seemed to be that Jeremiah was complaining a little bit. Jeremiah was a preacher, and it was wearing hard on him, and he was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. And they was critical, they was stiff-necked, hard-necked people, and they wasn't doing what he was, and he was complaining about it. And the Lord's expression to you is, listen, you ain't seen nothing yet, Jeremiah. You're complaining about these people acting like that. You just wait and see what you're about to go through. You better learn how to run with the footman. Because there's going to be something harder and harder come into our lives. Each one of us that's interested in serving the Lord needs to learn how to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You need to learn how to pray. Yes. You need to learn how to give all your difficulties and disappointments, criticisms against you. You need to learn how to give them up. You need to learn how to get a hold of the Lord until He blesses your soul and brings you back to place. You need to learn to do that in the simple things of life that happen. Brother Jim up home, he used to pray for his car keys, pray for his wallet, pray for his checkbook, all these seemingly small things that he would do. And every time he did, he'd have a testimony that God cared enough about his little things to help him find it. Maybe he'd have found it if he hadn't prayed. But that wouldn't have helped his faith much. But he'd done it, and the Lord kept helping him until he believed that the Lord was helping him with the things of his life. And he was helping him with the things of his life. And as things get bigger now and more out of control, and now you've got congestive heart failure, and now your life's doing a certain way, he helped me with my car keys. He helped me with my checkbook. He helped me forgive somebody that I couldn't hardly forgive. He helped me in the times that I had needs before. He's healed my body. He stepped in and healed my children. He's helped us at the answer of prayer. He's done all these things for us. And he's not going to fail us now. The first thing we need to learn to do is to run with the footman and not be wearied. There has been saints that went before us that have been faithful all the way through. There has been many that's proven that God is interested in what we do and has helped in all kind of ways. So we've seen all that. So Lord, help us to start learning the basics. To learn the basics. You always have a good desire for serving the Lord. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you right here. There's been times that I've faltered in it. You ever get tired? Sure, you get tired sometimes. Do you know the times that I have got to the place that I felt like that my desire for serving the Lord was dropping, going away? I've been able to go to the Lord and Him rekindle it. You know what? I could sit and grit my teeth and hope and make all kinds of resolutions and couldn't do it. But I learned something over the years of serving the Lord. You take it to the Lord and tell Him your heart's desire and learn how to get a hold of the Lord, and He'll rekindle your fire for you. He'll bring back what you've lost before. So before we start contending with the horses, let's learn how to run with the footman and take care of the basic things of our life. You find it hard to go to service? Now listen, we're human. And there's some times that when you're not in the spiritual place. There was one time up home, I remember, there was a message come forth. And I was sitting there and I said, I think that's the driest message that I've ever heard. They ain't nothing in that. And I just kind of wallowed around in my seat. And that, there just ain't nothing in that. That's dry as dust, I thought. No, you'd have to add water to it to get it that dry. That's as dry as all this thing going through my mind. Well, finally it was over. And Brother Jim stands up and said, I want to thank God for this good message. And I thought, and he started saying what the message had said, and I sat there inside of me saying, arguing with him. I listened to that, and he never said that. He never said that. He never said that. You know what I found out? The service wasn't dry. I was. You ever have trouble going to service? Sure you have. Most everybody has had those kind of... The flesh isn't pumped up here. This isn't trying to get the flesh going. And there's times that it's been hard to do. You gonna quit? What are you going to do? Well, I'll just suffer through it. Wrong answer. Suffering through it ain't what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to learn to run with the footman. This ain't big yet. This is your duty of what you're supposed to do to serve the Lord. And you need to learn how to be able to go because you want to. And get something out of it when you go. And learn to get, if the word of God, if there's one passage read, it's valuable. If one song sung, it's valuable. And if it's so dry you can't take it, come with a good bucket of water, brother. Come with something to liven it up. Learn how to serve the Lord. Learn how to bring your part into it. Learn how to be able to get help from the Lord to go on. To go on. Because the danger of this thing, when you weary, is to quit. I've been kind of trying to be a little bit, Springs here, and I've been wanting to be a little bit more active. So I went up to the Guthrie deal up there, and they had a race. Well, I was kind of doing some of the stuff a little bit, and it sounded kind of fun. They were going to run around. Some of the boys were here to do it. And I knew that I wasn't really competing with these young guys. But I told a couple of the girls, I said, I think I can outrun you. And that's my goal, is to outrun you. Well, I had one lap around there. And so I ran around that. And if I hadn't thought they was coming up behind me, I'd have probably quit. I wearied. I don't run anymore. And I was wearing out. And I was wondering, man, I can't hardly get my breath. And I was up there. And what the temptation of wearying is to quit. Well, I did quit running. I just started walking. But, I had to stop at some point, you understand. But the temptation is to quit. Jeremiah, you're wearying. What are you going to do next? Quit? That's what you do when you're weary. We need to learn how. The Lord wants to teach every one of us here tonight how to run with the footman. How to get victory in our daily life with the Lord. How to go to bed every night with a clear soul. Go to bed every night. If you need to make an apology, you've made it. Go every night that you can say to the Lord, it's clear with my soul. I learned today another lesson. And thank you. I know how to be able to do it. And there are some times that our old tongue will get us in trouble. Your old tongue ever get you in trouble? I think I told Brother Tony, I told him when he was up Greenbank, I said, you know, I told one of my sons, I said, I think that I'm in running for the full of the year and I'm a top contender and it's early in the year yet. I think I've got it sewed up. We can use our tongue sometimes, but I want to tell you, even at that, there's a way to learn how to get that right. But there is a way to learn how not to do it, to have grace. And the Lord wants us to do that. Now we've run with the footman. And we've kept up with the footman. And now here comes the horse soldiers. I'm not on a horse. I can battle with the footman. It's only what natural people can do. It's what you can do. But here's something bigger than me. And I can run into the bigger than me's. Lord, how am I going to face this? How am I going to possibly get through this? I remember one time, I still call it my major moment, when I thought my world had fallen down. I felt in the vision of my mind of a rope hanging down of a above a great abyss, and my fingernails are hanging onto the bottom of the rope. And that was the vision that was in my mind. And I stood there with tears running, looking up and telling the Lord, Lord, for what it's worth, I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of the rope. And if you don't help me, I'm done. And you know, it was like heaven opened up. And God poured out on me a confidence in Him, an assurance that life would be okay. It didn't, he did not pour out the change in the circumstance. But he sure changed me. And that's your answer, folks. When you face the horses, you're going to have to learn how to face some hard things in your life. You're going to have to learn how to get a hold of God when grief is so hard on you and life seems like it can't be right. He can change it. He can do a work. He can do a work in you. And we should have learned that. That exercise needs to be learned. Our God is faithful. Do you believe Romans 8:28? You know, Romans 8:28 is like, I kind of am lighthearted about Romans 8:28 because the times that I've been in the toughest trials that I've had, all the cards come, all the things, it's like, watch this. I haven't even opened it. Watch this. Romans 8:28. It's like, everybody knows Romans 8:28. For we know this, that all things work together for good. Well, to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We know all these things, they all work good. Well, it says we know. Do we? It says we do. And we know all things work together for good. Do they? Is the horses coming? Going to work for good? God said it was. You got horses coming in your life. You got grief in your life. You got heartache in your life. Your life changed so dramatically that you don't know what to do or what step to take. God still said it was all things work together for good. The claim of God is still that I'll be with you to the end, even the end of the world. God's claim is that my grace is so powerful. My grace is so dynamic in your life that you can go through anything I give you to go through with victory. Not because you're able, because I'm going to tell you right now, none of us can contend with horses. They're bigger than we are. This is where we've got to have a divine touch. This is where we're going to have something bigger. So David, King David, before he was king, a ruddy little boy, is sent out to keep Jesse, his father's flock. I don't know, maybe it's not fair to assume, because the Bible definitely doesn't say, but I don't think David started his journey of faith with that bear. It was a monumental place, but I think David had already had some contact with the Lord. I think he knew who God was, and he knew God was a defender and a helper. He already knew it. And along comes a bear. And so the little boy takes on the bear and wins. Well, he gave God the credit. God delivered that bear to me. I was able to take care of a bear. And then a lion comes. Lions in the scripture is the foe to face. I mean, he's king of the jungle. I guess a few other beasts might not think that way, but he thinks he is, and that's the title that he's got. Fierce creature. And the little boy takes him out. Then he's got to contend with the horses. Now there's a giant before him. But he didn't waver. I contended with the footmen, and they didn't weary me. I was never tempted to go back. I was never tempted to run. My God is able to take care of every problem that I have. My God has been a God that's been with me all the way. And I want to tell you something. It's a regular statement of mine. If you're honest about going to heaven, He'll take you. I ain't saying what you're going to go through to get there. But if you really want to serve the Lord, He'll take you down a path that you can go. If you say, well, I want to go, but I just have a trouble with being humble, hang on, brother. You say, well, I want to go to heaven, but I'm an impatient person. You just hang on, brother. You're going to learn something. You be honest and say, I want to go to heaven, He'll take you. But you're going to have to face some things. You're going to have to face and learn. And there'll come a time, there'll come a time to where you say, I can't hardly believe that I got where I'm at. That's so different than I would have ever thought. God has changed me so much. And there has been times that I've looked at situations and said, it's impossible. It's impossible. And it worked out in such a way and so easily, I couldn't hardly believe I doubted it. And that's God. So we'll face some things before life gets through. And you may say tonight, well, I had a guy, you know what? I always endeavor to be kind of a meek person. And don't say that I always fulfill these qualities like I want to, but I always want to be I don't want to be somebody that you'd look and say that he was causing trouble for anyway, but I ended up getting in trouble anyway with a guy, and he had a gun stuck to my head and gritting his teeth, going to pull the trigger and in a killing mood, and ends up slamming me in the head with the gun barrel and starts hitting me with his fist. And I had all these ill thoughts towards me and tried to do all this stuff to me. And I never would have thought that would have happened to me. I don't go around trying to provoke people. And I definitely hadn't tried to provoke him or anyone else. But the circumstance had happened, and I was in that situation. That was contending with horses for me. Not so much when the event happened, but I sure contended with them after it happened. That was so violating to me. The thoughts that went through my mind after that. The old devil would get me a lot of still nights, me driving down the highway, and the old devil would come in with the, you shouldn't have done that, and you should have done this, and you could have done that, and you know what, you could have all this stuff, and before long, that'd blow up again. And you know what I learned, though, a long time ago? I learned that you can take them things to the Lord. I learned that when I ain't able to change myself, He's able. And it wasn't easy. It rode up again and again, and I'd go again and again and have the Lord help me. I don't want to have a bad thought. I don't want to have a revengeful spirit. I don't want to have that in my heart. And I was begging the Lord. And you know, the Lord gave me victory over that. But that was a contending with the horses. And when you see a loved one of yours violated, or when you see feel a violation, or you see things come in your life, or the sicknesses that come, and the hard places that come, the doubts that come, and all the things that happen, there's some serious things that happen in life sometimes, folks. And we're going to have to learn how to contend with the horses. The big things. And it's only one way to do it. And that ain't because you've muscled up to it. It's because you learned how to get a hold of God. And God is able to do it. Scripture over, familiar scripture in 6th chapter of John. Jesus said, I'll pick it up with the 53rd. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? It's difficult. Who can understand such a thing as that? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Lord, help us with the offense. There's a scripture that says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I said that to an offended brother one time, and I said, what do you think that scripture means? And he said, well, I don't think it means what you think it means. I said, I didn't say what I think it means. I simply just read the scripture. So if you're arguing with somebody, it's not me. Does this offend you? And why? Does the way of God offend you? Why? Lord, help us. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It's the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believeth not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and whom should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now, I hope that everybody in here is rock solid. But I thought that about many of crowds and many of people that's been in my life that's been less than rock solid that have ended up going away. I don't, folks, listen, I don't suppose myself a better person or a better man or any different or stronger than any of them. If I'm going to make it, it's because of the Lord. That's the only chance I got. So he says to his disciples, will you go away also? What is it? What is it that would cause you to go away? I've used this analogy many times. I've known people that got offended, and when you talk to them about why they quit going to services and why they've quit the Lord and all those kind of things, they'll say usually because somebody done something. Is that it? If that was it, I would challenge what they had to start with. That's exactly what I'm trying to get you away from in this message. If that's all that you can rely on is the actions of others, I can see being disappointed in actions of others. But I use this analogy. If somebody comes up and says to me, you're ugly and stupid, and I don't like you and I don't want you in my life, and I go and tell my wife I'm going to divorce her, you all would say, that's crazy. Then why would you get rid of the Lord because of somebody's doing something? You got a relationship with the Lord where he's been the dearest thing in your life, and he saved you and been with you and talked to you and answered your prayers. I would be like, Jesus, will you go away also? Are you going to go away because of a disappointment somewhere, or somebody done something, or life didn't go well? I would have to challenge the experience that you have. And whether you're running with the footman or not, and whether you've learned how to deal with the things of life, we don't run from the Lord when difficulties happen, no matter what they are. Brother Salmon said a lot of times, I heard him say, that people, right when they need the Lord the most is when they go the other way. When the things happen is when you run to the Lord. That's when you go and fall down before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand, but you do. Help me at this time to keep what I've got. Maybe I can be the difference for them. Maybe I can do something here in this. Will you? He said to the 12. He said to these other ones, walk not, many of them, walk no more with him. Hard saying. Walk no more with him. So he turns to the 12. Will you all going to go away too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, been learning some things. Been taking some things into my heart. Lord, I saw you turn that water to wine. There's something to it. I saw you heal that lame man. I saw that blind man receive sight. Lord, I've been with you long enough to vouch for you. No, I ain't going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Will you go away also? Now, Peter, you're rash. You're harsh. What if they turn you upside down and crucifying you? What if they torment you? Nope. That is the words of eternal life. What? At what point you'd say, go run with the horses? What about when they throw you in jail or beat you or all of that? Mine's made up. Mine made up. I know how to get a hold of the Lord. I know how to have grace. You can beat me, but you can't make me hate you. Been with the Lord. You can do things to me, but you can't turn me away from the Lord. The harshest times, the toughest times, the hardest things, the Lord still comes through. He still comes through. Stephen was being stoned to death. He had gave him a message. I'll say that. You can read it. He was full of the Holy Ghost and he was straight to the points. A lot of times we say, well, you can't say that. It's Holy Ghost. I don't even go there. You don't know what the Holy Ghost is going to say. And sometimes he's going to say, you hypocrites. You murderers. You're murderers and your fathers was murderers. Told him the truth. It's the best. It wasn't mean. It was the best hope they had for salvation. And the Holy Ghost gave it to them just that way. And they stoned him to death for saying it. They could stone him to death, but they couldn't make him hate him. They couldn't get a hate in his heart. They could stone him, but he still loved them anyway. Because he had run with the footmen. He had learned. And now here's the horses. And you beat them too. It's only the Lord that does it. Now it come down to a situation like this, and they run off. All of them run off, but what are you going to do? Answer it for yourself. Is there a situation? Are you going to serve the Lord? Is your companion the steel? Well, that's good that they are. Don't get me wrong. But is that the steel in your relationship? Would you serve the Lord if your companion didn't? Well, I hope that's not the situation. But many it is. Can they change you? How dead set are you on it when the horses come? That, no, Lord, he says, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that which betrayed him, being one of the 12. Lord, help us. We need to learn. As we go through life, we need to learn how to serve the Lord. And the events ain't too small. The situations can't be enough to have faith in God. Have faith in God for the things of our life. Exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. Pray and believe about the things of your life. It don't have to be monumental things. Pray and learn how to do it. We go by steps. And you know that the Lord wants to prepare us years ago. I'm so thankful for this, but it was a real experience I had, and I'd said in this meeting, but I hope that I do this sometime. But I've been thinking about trying to catalog all these things that the Lord has done for me in my life and put it in a writing somehow. But years ago, when we still lived in Webster, and I don't remember how many children we had. I think just Sabrina at the time. But we had went to service in Green Bank and Brother Sammons preached, and he preached this message. He preached this message on hitting the rock. You pray And pray till you hit the rock. You get in there and you pray and you make sure that you hit the rock. And I remember that message and it was anointed and I was encouraged and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get to it. Well, Sunday afternoon, we had left from service and went back to Webster County and was over there and done some things in the day. And when we got where we lived, we got in, we had a house trailer at the time and we went into that and my wife just went totally fearful. The spirit of fear come on her. She was so scared and afraid. She was shaking and I didn't even understand it. I was saying, what's wrong? And she, I'm scared. Well, scared of what? Well, there was no answer for that. And men, just as a side, there don't have to be. She was just scared of something. It was all over, scared. And I didn't know what to do about it because, I mean, it was a monumental thing. And I heard Brother Sammons in that message say, you need to hit the rock. And boy, I said, you know what? I'm going to go tell God. And she was in the bedroom, and I went down this darkened hall toward the darkened living room. And the hair just started lifting up on the back. I could feel the hair lifting up on the back of my neck. And the devil said, you better not go in there. It's dark. I've never been afraid of the dark, and I've never been afraid of things like that. And it never was a thought to mine, but it come on me strong. And you know, for a moment, I felt what my wife felt. I felt it. I mean, it was a spirit. And I said, huh. And I went in there and got, I'm going to tell you what it felt like. Take it for what it's worth. It felt like that the devil just kind of slips his arm up over me. It goes right in, and I'm like feeling it. And I get down at the couch in a dark eye that wasn't going to turn the light on. Got down there and it just felt like he got down there right there with me and said, you better get out of here. And I started praying. Folks, this is real. I started praying and I prayed and that thing started backing off of me and I prayed till I got a hold of God. And I want to tell you the circumstances changed and I felt the change. I felt that old darkness go out of there. The room was dark, but the darkness left. And I got up from there. I hit the rock. And I walked back through there and went to the bedroom. And I walked in there and I said, honey? And she looked at me and I said, are you all right? I said, I'm fine. I'm fine. No problems at all. This is real. And you know what? You're going to have to learn how to contend with the horses because it'll drive you crazy. You're going to have to learn how to beat the devil and what he says. And we can learn to do that, and there's only one way to do it. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It ain't about a collective effort either. It's about the Lord. There's power in numbers, but it's about the Lord. When you have a relationship with the Lord and have learned how to do it, you run the devil off. When you got confidence in the Lord and you can go before the Lord's the victor, folks. And he's always the victor. And when that darkness comes and that cloud, and listen, the Bible teaches this so we can do it. If one can run 1,000 off, get two of us together. And we can run 10,000 off. What does that work off mathematically for three? I don't know. I'm not very smart. I know it's a bunch. And what about 4 or 5 or a whole congregation? It's real. It's real. Brother up in our congregation, Brother Tony's son-in-law, he got really, really sick. He got really sick. Wasn't sleeping. Wasn't doing that. Prayer was being offered all over the place. We got together on Sunday and said, let's pray through the night. Got the word the next day and slept all night. God's real. God's real. Going to have to learn. Going to have to learn how to fight the battle. Lord, teach us how to war. Teach us how to fight. Lord, teach us how to face. We've been blessed to live. I don't know how you think about this. We've lived in a time, my lifetime, my lifespan. I've lived in a country that's been free and free of war. There's been war outside this country. There hasn't been war in it. We've lived in a very blessed place in this time that we've lived in. But there's a spiritual war going on. There's a battle for souls going on. Your children, your grandchildren, there's a battle going on. Do you know that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to get a hold of God. We need to be able to contend with the things that's bigger than we are. And when it comes and flares itself up in its big giant's form, Goliath, we need to say, the battle's not mine. Now, I know I can't contend with that, but in my God's strength, I can contend with it. I can contend with these things that's bigger than we are. We live in a world that is just running rampant on the transgender. I would have never thought of such a thing like that 25 years ago, 30 years ago. I never would have thought we'd have been getting into the place of the alternative lifestyle and the militancy it's got, the push that it's got. We're going to have to contend in people's souls. We're going to have to contend for the big things. We're going to have to be able to know the value of prayer. And when we look at it, we're going to have to be able to dismiss the carnalities of it. We're going to have to learn what's important and what's not. The souls are important. We get so hung up on the rest of it. That's we're going to have to be able to divide it. Lord, give us wisdom to know how to fight these battles. We're facing from, folks, listen, I'm pretty sure that the scripture says it. I think everybody here old enough to understand it knows it. It don't get better from here out. In the last days, perilous times shall come. It's perilous. It's perilous times. And the push is horrendous. People are cheering the death of babies 9 months developed. They're cheering that as if they won something and they've lost. We need to learn how to fight this battle and contend with the horses in our day and stand for the truth and stand for righteousness, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that doesn't mean that means that even in our day and time, it still avails. It still means something to go to the Lord. And most of you was here when I said it, but I'm going to tell it again. The circumstances of me coming out here to this meeting was of the Lord. And I know some of you heard it, but some of you haven't. So I want to retell it because it was precious to me. Been home for a while. The Lord been working on me. And I'm very thankful for what He does. But Brother Joseph Gellenbeck called me and said that he had a burden to be at Greenbank on Easter. And I said, and he said, if you're away, I want to come be there. And I said, well, I don't have to be away for you to come. So you come anyway. And he said, nope, it's not my burden. The Lord wants me to come if you're not there. I said, okay. Well, I get off the phone and one of my daughters ended up saying, ain't going to be there for Easter. We're not going to be there for Easter. Well, I don't know about it. No, he called. We're not going to be there for Easter. See, that's the way the Lord works. Yes. So anyway, with that kind of in the backdrop, I was walking around on a trail up at home, and I was walking around on a pretty day, and the thought of the Oklahoma Zoo came to my mind. I was on this trail and a pretty day, and I kind of come to my mind, and I thought about Brother Lauren and Sister Maxine, and then I thought, it come on to me about having a meeting out here. That's just the way it worked. And I was like, Lord, I wonder if they're having a meeting. I mean, I could say that the answer wasn't that answer if they was already having a meeting. So I thought, I'll go home and have Leah get and check the website and see if they're having if there's a meeting posted. And then I thought, I wonder where their phone number's at. Maybe I'll just call them. I get to the house and sit down in my chair, and I no more than got there a few minutes, and the phone rang, and they come and say, it's Sister Maxine. And I was like, thank the Lord? So I told her, and anyway, that I had interest in coming out, and she accepted that interest, and the date was over Easter. But then it looked like with Keith being sick, I wasn't going to come. I wasn't going to come if he was sick. So I laid that with Sister Maxine before the Lord and said, Lord, it looks like you sure worked wonderfully for me to go. But I ain't going to go with him sick, so it wouldn't be no good anyway. I'd be divided. I couldn't do it. Sister Maxine said, don't give up yet. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. It looks so impossible. He'd been sick for a long time, and he just didn't seem to be getting better. I was there the day before. He didn't seem like he was getting better. Wasn't working. Thursday was the deadline. I had to leave Friday. I walk in down there Thursday, and Keith's sitting there eating hot chips. Now, you're getting better when you're eating hot chips. I walked in and said, where's Keith at? Lord, give him a touch. He's been getting better. Lord can do anything, folks. That's a teaching moment. It's a teaching moment. There are going to be times that you said, time's run out. It ain't can't work. It ain't run out yet. God's the master of time. God knows when exactly the right time is. We need to take every moment of our life when we're to deal with God personally in our lives. Let him help us. He wants to help us. Let him help you. And there'll be a time that you'll be able to say, Lord, I thank you for helping me find my car keys that time. I appreciate you helping me with that little problem I had with anger. Thank you, Lord, for healing my car. You know, people sprayed for cars before, and the Lord's healed them. It's been amazing how many times I'm out on the road thousands upon thousands of miles and pull into my driveway, and then the next morning get up and the van won't start. Alternators out, gas pumps out. How many times the Lord got me right back to my driveway. Thank you, Lord, for getting us safely back home. Thank you for helping us. On the way out here, we was going along, and this guy came up in a truck with a big flatbed trailer on it, and we're cruising 75 miles an hour, and we're cruising down there, and I'm in the passing lane. There was a car coming up, and I was passing lane, and he comes zooming by and went down a shift, and it looked like he forgot that he had the trailer on the way he done it. And he comes up and pulls over, and here that trailer comes swinging at me, and I go all the way over, and I'm over at these cables off the road, these cable things that they got there. I'm over there, and the van, and I braced myself for impact. Ah! And Linda said, she said, how did he miss? I don't know. It was almost like the molecules merged. It was like it went through. I'm telling you, it was close, wasn't it? I don't know how he missed, but the only thing I can say is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that time. And there'll be a time that I may have to look back and say, Lord, I remember when you helped me. I remember when you opened up heaven. Now this is tough, Lord. Get me through this. Help me to contend with the toughest things I have. My faith's in you, Lord. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be right here until you do something. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's a real experience when we have it to the Lord. I just want to encourage everyone in here to have God the center of your life. And when I say that, it's not metaphoric or it's not an analogy. I mean, make God a part of your life. Have him in your dealings. Incorporate him into your relationships. I remember, we don't pray it so much anymore because we're going on 20 years now, so we thought maybe the glue's held. But I remember Linda and I used to pray a lot when we was first married that we prayed a lot, Lord, help us to love you so we can love one another. You know, that's the center of it all. It's the center of it all. Lord, help me to love you. Because if I do that, I'd be honest with you, and my wife knows this, we don't count on our human love being enough to hold us. We need something more than the human side of it. And I love my wife, but I need something more than that. And God's the one that's got it. And if I hold to him, I'll hold to her. No problem. I'll hold to you if I hold to him. I'll be faithful to everyone in here if I'm faithful to him. I'll do you right if I do him right. He's the center of it. And let's make him the center of our lives, because to prophesy to you, most everybody in here, before you leave this world, you're going to have the acknowledgement that you're leaving this world. And you're going to have to suffer some pain and some heartaches. Many people in here, you younger people, you're going to have to bury your parents. It's not always that way. Sometimes parents bury their children. I can't hardly imagine it. But it happens. And some of us in here, some in here, no doubt, experienced it. But it happens. And you're going to need the grace of God to be able to get through it. So Lord, help us to build the relationship with the Lord and learn how to, so that when the horses come, that I can get right in there and contend with them. And when the whole thing's said and done, I can say, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, and I kept the faith. The horses came running, and I contended, and the Lord gave me the victory. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.